Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, I set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglich. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. And welcome to this new year, 2014. I know it will be a very special year for all of you. I wish that you all have a blast this year. Today, we start our very, very special return guest is Amika Waters. We will be talking about how developing curiosity can help us develop freedom of spirit. Amika is the director of the Institute of Life Energy Medicine. She's a classically trained homeopath, certified by the Council of Homeopathic Certification, and a member of the Society of Homeopaths, formerly in the UK and currently in the US. She received her diploma in homeopathic medicine from the School of Homeopathic Medicine in North Yorkshire, Britain, and was a member of the Society of Homeopaths in the UK from 1995 to 1994, returning to America. She has articles published in the American Homeopath on treatment for autism and in the International Homeopathic Journal links on homeopathic color and sound remedies, which she created in 1990 in the UK. She is an angelologist, has written many books, has written about chakras and life energy. She has worked in the corporate sector offering homeopathic and consultations to many people. John Lewis Partnership, Visa International Publishing, and Cranfield School of Business Management, all in the UK. She currently maintains a private practice in classical homeopathy with people around the globe. She uses Skype, email, and telephone to connect with people. She offers training online and in person. Amika is the author of 20 books on chakras, homeopathy, and the realm of angels. Her work is translated over 10 languages. She is currently writing about healing martyrdom and finding fulfillment in freedom, creativity, and sexuality. Amika's work supports total regeneration. Help me welcome Amika Waters. Hello, dear.
Hi. Hi, Luciana.
Hi, how are you doing today? Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be talking to you again.
It's a real pleasure to have you with us. And we were just saying that it's the first year that you've first joined our Inner Healers family. It's amazing, all the information, all the work that you've been giving us for so many years.
Thank you.
So tell us, what's curiosity for you?
Well, curiosity is, you know, it's energy, it's vitality, it's resiliency, it's health. I think healthy people are curious. They're curious about life. They're curious about other people. They're curious about nature. They're curious about many things. And there's a funny expression in English that says curiosity killed the cat, but I think it's what woke up the cat, actually. I think curiosity is really vital in today's world because it helps us understand what we're attracted to. And it's only through curiosity that we're able to answer so many of the questions that face us in life. I think of people like Nikola Tesla, people who have inquiring minds who want to understand the nature of problems, health problems, physical problems, mechanical problems, and curiosity, you know, spreads itself over many realms. It's mental, it's emotional, it's physical, it's certainly spiritual. And it's through curiosity that we delve into the realm of possibilities and understand new things. And curiosity has played a very, very big part of my life development, especially in homeopathy. In 1990, I went to a class. I just started homeopathy school in England, and we were having a tutorial, and the homeopath who was teaching the class said, "You can make homeopathic remedies out of anything." And I said, "Can you make them out of color?" And he looked at me and he said, "Not to my knowledge, but why don't you go ahead and try and do something with that?" And I had no idea even where to begin. But I was taken with the idea that color is energy, and it's energy that heals. So things started to come through dreams, and people would hand me articles and journals to read and give me books to read. And over a period of time, I decided that I would delve into this realm of creating homeopathic color remedies. And I did, and it changed my life. It certainly brought healing to many, many people around the globe, and it's part of what I do now. I have started a product development company with another homeopath, and we work very hard to solve many health problems. We do conventional homeopathy. We bring in potentized vitamins and amino acids, and we add the color and sound remedies. And these are powerful medicines for healing. So over the past 25 years, curiosity has continued to move me forward, and I feel that curiosity has helped me create very good medicines to help people with their problems. And so, yes, I'm a great believer in curiosity, and I hope I'll be curious forever.
Conscient about curiosity and its influence in life.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that clearly.
Sure. So how did you first get conscious about curiosity and its influence in life? Was this the first time you got...
Well, that's a good question. I think I've been curious ever since I was a very small child. I remember getting into my mother's perfumes and mixing them with baby powder and all kinds of things. I mean, much to the dismay of my parents, and I think that many parents have very curious children, and it's something that gets stopped in us because it can be destructive, and who knows, it could be dangerous as well. But I've always been curious. I've always wanted to know. And especially when I was told not to pursue my curiosity. When there were things I wanted to know about spirituality and religion, I was told that wasn't a good idea. So, of course, you know, because the question never got answered, I pursued my curiosity to find out more. And I think when you say no to a child about curiosity, they're going to continue to be curious until they get their answers. So, you know, curiosity is basically a question. What is this? How does this work? How does this affect me? What can I do with this? And until the question gets answered, a person is going to remain curious. I mean, it's all too easy to just accept what somebody says about medicine, for instance. Oh, you need penicillin, or, oh, you need these... You know, you need these medications, they'll stop you from feeling anything. Instead of being curious and saying, why is this happening to me? What is it that I need to do to change my life or change my diet or change my medicine or change my outlook? You know, we don't want to stop curiosity. We want to give it its path. And I think that curiosity will help us heal. I don't think it's going to be destructive in adult people who are curious about how can I get better? What's going to work for me? Is this good or is it bad? And sometimes we make mistakes with curiosity. You know, sometimes we do have failure or things don't work in the way we want them to. And with curiosity, we keep pursuing the path until we get our answer. So, yes, curiosity is it's vital. It will bring us vitality and resiliency, and it will open doors. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. So when we are children, curiosity can be dangerous. But knowing that as souls, we will always pursue our curiosity. What advice would you give parents to help guide their children about their specific curiosities?
Well, I think that's a wonderful question, because when children start to get curious about their bodies, about their body functions, about their world around them, it's through parental guidance that they start to feel safe with their inquisitive mind. And I think a parent has to give a child some room to explore their bodies, understand their body functions. What is sleep? What's a dream? How does this affect me in my life? Does this mean I'm good or bad? Without judgment, to allow a person to explore the realm of possibilities for themselves and the world around them is wonderful. And to set the limits on where is something dangerous, that's a parent's job. So a parent really needs to pay attention to see what interests the child. Is a child interested in science or technology or art or literature? We want that creativity to bloom, and because that is what is going to save the world. It's the curious minds that are doing outstanding things in these fields that, make the world a better place for us all. And there have to be limits. There have to be good guidelines. And that's what parenting is about.
So parents must give room without judgment for their children to explore their curiosity, to have their curiosity bloom. But how would you tell them, or what would you tell them about how to set healthy limits while they are growing up, so that these limits don't mean that their freedom will be held back in any way?
Well, I've seen children recently who are very inquisitive and who want to know, how does this work? Show me how this is done. And I see good parents are patient. They're very patient, because nobody's going to get the answer right away. And to not accept things at face value, but to go deeper into the nature of how things work and what they mean. What is the meaning of this? How is this going to affect me and other people? It takes a parent who is willing to watch, help a child through mistakes, and to continue to pursue answers. That's something that I think really good parents are very patient people, and they help a child accommodate failure to the point where they will eventually be able to accommodate success. And I think that's something many people in the West particularly strain to achieve. We weren't educated in a way that really allowed great curiosity to flourish. So as adults, we give ourselves permission to look, to study, to understand. How does nature work? Nature is one of the best teachers that we could possibly model. How do plants grow? What does it take to make food grow so that it's nutritious and good for us? These things are important, and I do feel that they will be the answers. Children will grow into adults who will find answers that will help us maintain our planet in a good and healthy way with balance.
So what would you tell the members of our Inner Healers family that are listening that may have experienced some refrain from their parents regarding the freedom to experience their curiosity, to go about whatever they feel their soul is telling them when they were children, and now they still in their life as adults?
Well, I do think that we need to be self-reflective. What's working in our life, we want to enhance, and what's not working, we want to transform. So if something is working, how can we make it better? How can we let it flourish? For instance, you know, I spend a lot of time at my desk and I doodle. So doodling has turned into drawing, and drawing has turned into painting, and now I'm exploring the realm of painting in my senior years, and I'm really enjoying it, and I'm giving myself permission to make a lot of mistakes. I'm curious about color. I'm curious about ways of delivering my drawings to, you know, to paper and to canvas. I'm curious now, and I'm willing to make mistakes. You've got to be willing to make mistakes and not judge yourself, because then things can grow. And when things aren't working, we need to be self-reflective enough to say, how do I transform this? Do I need to sit this one out? Do I need to be patient? Do I need to make changes? Do I need to change the way I think about things? When people are ill, for instance, is your medicine working for you? Is your doctor working for you? If it's not, you need to be curious enough to find alternative ways to restore your health, to find people who you can trust to do their very best for you. That's part of my work as a homeopath. I'm always tired of hearing, well, I tried everything else, I guess I'll try you next. I mean, be curious enough to look into homeopathic medicine or acupuncture or Reiki or any form of healing and see, look into it, see if it works. If it doesn't work, move on. If it works, you may have the key to health for yourself. So it takes a curious mind to be willing to get past conventional thinking. Way past conventional thinking. Conventional thinking has its place, of course, but it also has its limitations. And I think when we are in the process of transformation, we want the very best for ourselves. And that takes curiosity. It needs to be awakened in us, not muted down.
So how does allowing ourselves to make mistakes instead of judging influences the development of our curiosity?
Well, I think if we have a mindset that failure is bad, we'll stop being curious. We'll never take risks, and it's only through risks that we get to know ourselves better. We get to see what works. I mean, look at relationships. You know, are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to be curious about another person? You might find after a few weeks or a few dates that you don't like them, that they're not who you want to be with. But you might find the diamond in the rough and find somebody who's absolutely a gem of a person with that golden heart. And that they were worth the risk. They were worth the risk of finding out about. And so that's curiosity. So if we stop judging ourselves, if we stop setting the template so high that we demand only perfection of ourselves, we'll never allow our curiosity to flourish. You know, it's a willingness to say, well, this didn't work this time, you know. I do it with cooking, you know. Sometimes I think, well, if I added this to this recipe, it would taste so much better. So I add the extra ingredient, and it's not so good. So I have to say to myself, okay, I found out that doesn't work. So let me try something else. You know, I love to play in the kitchen. I love to play in the garden. I love to play in my art studio. And it's through my curiosity that my products got developed. Well, maybe I can find a wonderful remedy for female sexuality or male sexuality or bone density. It's through being willing to try something, to test it out, to see if it works. When it works, it's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to see healing happen. And when it doesn't, you know, I go back and I look at what I've created and I start again from scratch. I'm not afraid of making mistakes and rectifying them. That's really important with curiosity, to believe there has to be an answer to this problem. You know, I don't believe in putting up with suffering, and I don't believe in putting up with unhappiness. There's all too much of that. So it's curiosity that's going to move us. It's going to transform our lives. What can I do to be happy? What can I do to make my life better? What can I do to solve this problem? Who do I need to see? Do I need a therapist? Do I need a doctor? Do I need a healer? Do I need a handyman? You know, how does this work?
So in your experience, what is the relation between curiosity and freedom as the spirits that we are?
Well, that's a good question. Curiosity and freedom. I think curiosity is born out of freedom, the freedom to explore. And the more that we are willing to explore the realm around us, the world around us, or to explore how we feel about things. Yesterday I was watching something on the news, and I got very upset watching this man scream and yell, and I turned it off. And then I said to myself, see if you can watch that without getting emotional. So I turned the television back on. The man was doing exactly the same things, and I was watching myself to see if I could watch this person do what he was doing and be quiet in myself, just let him do what he did. It was a very interesting exercise for me, and it gave me a lot more freedom to not be reactive. So I learned something about myself, about my capacity for freedom, which is to let other people be who they are. It, you know, we test ourselves. We, as I say, we take risks. We expand the exponential quotient another centimeter. And that's what growth and development and transformation are about. That is how we evolve. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like I said, I think curiosity is born out of freedom.
Mm-hmm. So was it curiosity with the homeopathy Bible, homeopathy, color and sound remedies? There's even the one I love, which is Nature's Healing Oracle.
Love that too. Yes, I'm hoping to get that reprinted in the next year. It's a wonderful book. And it teaches mm-hmm. you the metaphors. It teaches you about the metaphors of things. What does this represent? What does olive oil represent? What does mint represent? What do these flowers, these plants, these trees, what are their representation in the metaphorical world? What are they symbols for? And I think when we realize everything's a metaphor, then the world gets very, very magical. Yes, curiosity leads to the realm of alchemy and good magic. You know, it's that wonder, looking at the plants around us and knowing that everything on this planet has been given for healing. Every plant, every animal, every mineral has been given for healing. How do we make it work? How do we make it work? I think Paracelsus must have been a relative of mine, because I've got that kind of curiosity about things. And I think many people do. They've just never been given permission to open that realm for themselves. You know, this was a great topic when you gave me a choice of what to talk about. I thought, yes, curiosity, it's alive, it's vibrant, and it's very resonant with my spirit.
Mm-hmm. So how was it that curiosity took you to homeopathy?
Well, that's a good question. I was in a very challenging relationship, and I kept getting angry. And I I had very little control of my emotions at that point. I was in my early 30s. And somebody said, try this medicine. It'll help you. It'll help calm your anger. And at the time, there was nothing in the allopathic world that dealt with the emotions. So I took a dose of Nux Vom, and which is a remedy that has to do with anger. It works on the liver, It works on constipation, works sore throats, headaches. So I took a dose of this, a low dose, and I calmed down. And I thought, wow, what is this? I remember saying, what is this? What is this? And I became curious. And then I had a dog that was very sick with a liver problem, and I consulted a vet who gave a homeopathic remedy, and the dog calmed down and healed. And I was just thought, this is just extraordinary. So I started getting books and reading and getting remedies and taking them and offering them to people in my family. And then at one point when I had some time and space in my life, I said, I want to study this. I need to know what this is. This medicine is the best, the absolute best. And so I went to England and I spent 10 years there becoming a homeopath and writing and exploring new realms. I think once you stabilize the physical body and deal with physical pathology, then the spirit really has a chance to open. And what opened for me was the realm of chakras, the realm of color and sound, the realm of angels. That all opened through healing. So right now I'm working on a book on Kabbalah, on the Tree of Life, and how homeopathic remedies resonate with different aspects of the Tree of Life, and how it can help us evolve, how this medicine at its highest and best level can take us to the next level of evolutionary development. That's what I'm really interested in now.
That's really amazing. And how was it that Curiosity took you through relating yourself with color and sound? There's this book that you wrote called Homeopathic Color and Sound Remedies. How was the journey for you?
Well, the journey was long. It was very, very long. From the beginning, the very first idea I had, to the time somebody was willing to listen to me, I had done studies for over 8 years. And at some point, I remember after 6 years, I threw everything in the trash bin. I had notebook after notebook after notebook of findings. And I just took it and threw it in the trash bin. I thought, maybe I'm crazy here. I mean, was starting to get wonderful results, absolutely fantastic results with people. There was a nun in a Buddhist monastery who took the color blue. She had a rheumatoid arthritis, and I gave her a dose, and within a few days, her symptoms subsided. And I thought, goodness gracious, what is this? How can color do this? So I kept pursuing it, but after 6 years, I was so tired. I was tired of not being listened to, tired of even my own professional colleagues in homeopathy saying there's nothing in this. And it was just, you know how fate works. I had a Dutchman, a very fine homeopath, got in touch with me, and he said, I understand you're working in the realm of color, and we're very interested in that. Please send me your findings. And I said, well, I threw everything out. I felt like a fool. He said, well, do them again. I said, that took me 6 years. He said, ask for help. And I did. I started to ask other homeopaths if they would help me. And in 3 months, we had better findings than I had been able to do alone in those first 6 years. So bless him and bless the homeopaths in Britain who helped me, because it really was what got me published and got it onto the map. And now they're part of, you know, the products that we're developing, and they're an essential part of healing because they open the field. They opened the energetic field for healing to happen. But it really took that impetus after 6 years to continue. And I realized that that's part of the creative process. You're going to think you failed miserably. And it often takes an angel to just remind you of your path. And I would encourage anybody who's on that path of discovery, with whether it's a product or a thought or a book or a poem or a painting or a recipe for something, continue. Just continue to be curious. Give yourself plenty of time to rest and regenerate. Ground yourself in the world. Keep life simple and keep at it. keep at it. Keep your curiosity alive. It's a gift from God. Curiosity is a gift born out of our freedom, out of our spirit, and don't stop. Don't stop. Because I had to learn that. I had to learn it was not going to always be smooth sailing and that I needed my curiosity to keep me going forward. And I did, through the help of other people.
Mm-hmm. So we are promoting one of your books. It's the one that's called The Homeopathy Bible. Mm-hmm. For those who might be interested, through Facebook and our social network so that people can buy it. But I was wondering, homeopathy itself helps you keep on developing this curiosity. For those listeners who might be interested in walking this path as well.
Well, I think once you create a vortex of health, a field of health in yourself, then curiosity and creativity awaken. Attraction becomes very clear. You know what works for you. You start to learn what works for you and what doesn't. You start to get curious about your own gifts. What are your God-given gifts? And how can you transform the world with your gifts? So homeopathy helps create stability in the physical body, stability in the emotional body, and stability in the mental body. And that's how we go forward, through that level, through keeping ourselves grounded in life and stable and functional. You know, you need a well-functioning liver, a well-functioning kidneys, well-functioning lungs, well-functioning heart. We need to be functional in order to pursue our creative outlets. And curiosity it's the bridge. Curiosity is the bridge between the spirit and a very healthy outcome. So I do believe in homeopathy. I think it's the best medicine I know. I've explored many fields, and I love to use it as an evolutionary tool. Once we get our health, then we can really afford to be curious about other things. One of the things I know is when people are very sick, they're very self-absorbed. So when I say, hello, how are you today, to one of my patients, they say, fine. When they're healthy, they say, and how are you today, Ambika? That's how I know people are starting to get healthy. They want to know, and how are you? It's not just how they are. So that's curiosity. How are you today is curiosity starting to take hold in our spirit.
Mm-hmm. So in our preliminary conversation, you told me a couple of ideas that I'd appreciate it very much if we can expand them a little bit in our conversation today with our listeners. You told me that for you, curiosity is a manifestation of creativity.
Well, I think really I would say creativity is a manifestation of curiosity. I think creativity is the outcome. Curiosity is the bridge between the spirit and creativity. You need to be curious. How is this going to work? How can I make this better? Is this working for me? You know, that's curiosity. Just as much as, and how are you today, is curiosity.
And you also told me that we need to be mindful that curiosity needs a strong moral imperative not to become degraded into immoral actions or abusive behavior or harmful actions that hurt others. What can you tell our listeners about this?
Yes, I mean, let's not get curious about things that we already know are really bad for us. I mean, many people tried drugs because they were curious, because they were told it would open their minds. You know, you don't need to be curious about being drunk and driving. You don't need to be curious about heroin. These things we know are not good and that they are dangerous. We don't need to be curious about rattlesnakes in front of us. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to be curious about fire. I mean, sometimes things happen that are not really wholesome because we're overly curious, and we don't want to hurt others. I mean, that is the moral boundary, to not do harm, and that is our motto in homeopathy, to not do harm. So we need to use our minds. We need to understand what our limitations are, the limitations of what we're working with and who we're working with. You know, that is basically comes down to common sense. So, you know, that's hurting others, hurting ourselves. Curiosity doesn't work for us in that realm.
Mm-hmm, right. So you also said that when you know yourself and you honor these limits that you're talking about, then curiosity becomes a fruitful experience and a healthy outlet from the ordinary. And that we always want to be careful when encouraging the magical, right? Because it demands health, responsibility, and astuteness. So you were telling us that it's very important to honor curiosity and take care of ourselves first, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Curiosity needs some reflection, you know. We don't just jump into it because we're curious. We ask ourselves, is this safe? Is this person safe? Is this situation safe? Is this product safe? How we trust the realm of curiosity is by thinking about it. We learn to think, how can I make this better? Let me think about it. Let me be curious enough about the problem. Let me be curious enough about the situation. And let me think about it. And then prudently moving forward, prudently, and not being wasteful. That's another thing. People can be curious and they can burn up all their resources. We need to be prudent about how we move with curiosity.
Mm-hmm. I know you have this other book, which is called Healing Martyrdom Through the Soul of Pleasure and the Spirit of Sexuality. And the last time that we had a web TV interview, we talked about these remedies that you were working on for enhancing both men and women's sexuality. So what about sexual curiosity? What can you tell our listeners about this?
Well, I think sexual curiosity is just a part of growing up. I think that, you know, as young children, we are curious about our sexual organs. And often parents say, you know, don't touch, don't look. But I do think kids are just innately curious. Then it's 13 or 14 when the hormones start to kick in. Sexuality starts to kick in. We start to notice other people. And then as we mature, later on in our teenage years and early 20s, we start to act out what that means. And by the time we're in our late 40s and 50s, that starts to diminish a bit. And I created these remedies that help keep that flow of energy alive. And those products are sold on my website. We have a feminine libido remedy. We have a male sexuality remedy, male enhancement remedy. These are homeopathic remedies. They do no harm. But they keep the juices flowing, and they're really excellent products. We've tested them for several years. We've developed them in a couple of different capacities, and we like what we have now, which is little pellet forms that people can take to keep that energy alive, because once that energy is gone, the aging process kicks in. And I do think when you keep sexuality alive, you keep aging at bay. So we've used these products on people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and somebody in their late 80s is the oldest patient I've had. But you can get these remedies. They're very inexpensive. They're sold on www.lifeenergymedicine.com. That's our website. People can read about it, they can see the ingredients that are in there, and they can get curious about that, keeping their curiosity alive, keeping their sexuality alive. Good for the brain, good for the heart, good for the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was talking to a client who was telling me that he's very much in love with his girlfriend, but he still feels like a big curiosity to experience sexual relationships with women that are outside his relationship. So what would you tell him and other members from our Inner Healers family that might be experiencing this same curiosity?
Well, I think you have to understand what the consequences are. I think mature people look at the consequences. And here's the question again. Is this going to be good for your relationship or is it going to be harmful? And 9 times out of 10, I think it's harmful. But that's my opinion and my opinion only. I think we learn by experience what works and what doesn't. You might find it works, but you might find it doesn't. And those are the consequences. So you need to weigh that. You need to weigh that boundary. Is this worth it? Is your curiosity really worth it in this situation or not? And if it's not worth it, then how do you sublimate that curiosity into something else that's perhaps creative or physical, like sports or, you know, I think people need to be very clear about what the consequences are about their curiosity, especially sexual curiosity outside of relationship. And that's no judgment on it. That's just what age has taught me.
Mm-hmm. So just one last question. Anything, according to your experience, that you would like to tell our listeners, our Inner Healers family, on the relation between curiosity and freedom of spirit?
Yes. I think that when you are willing to be curious about health, about happiness, about joy, about the cosmos itself, you tap into your freedom of spirit. It's like a vitamin pill for your spirit, because it's really, that is where we are free. And you can imagine many things, some which you will materialize and manifest, and others that you won't, because the consequences just aren't worth it. But it's through curiosity that we open our heart, we allow love to flow through us, that I think we can truly find good health and well-being for ourselves by being curious. I think when you accept the pat answer, you give up something of your spirit. I think if I had listened to what doctors had told me, you know, 40 years ago, I would never have become a healer, and I would have never have found high levels of health, especially at my age. I'm nearly 70, and I have a tremendous vitality and energy, and that's because of homeopathy and acupuncture and wonderful healers. Way out of the box, way out of the box. Curiosity will take you out of the box, and it will take you into a magical realm, a realm of spirit, a realm of freedom, a realm of great beauty, and a realm of reverence, ultimately of reverence for the spirit and the grace of who we are.
Thank you very much, Ambika. It's been a real, real pleasure to have you with all of us today.
Thank you, Luciana, and thank you for giving me this topic of curiosity to explore. It's been wonderful. I've loved it. All the best to you, my dear. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, my friend. A big hug your way. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye, dear.
Bye.